But let me give you the history a little bit, a very brief history of Rav Konigsberg coming to Keli Masmidim. The first, it's been many, many years already, I think. I don't remember what number we're up to. Rav Konigsberg comes just about every summer, except for COVID summer when no one was allowed in. The first time he came, he always gives a shiur during the day, and it was usually on the topic that we were learning about. And the guys were just like blown away, meaning they... Guys who have not yet been in YU don't realize that Rav Konigsberg has a huge share of very loyal Talmidim who love his Torah. They know about Rabbi Shechter, they know about Rabbi Willig, and they're like, just eyes were opened up, the guys couldn't get enough of it, and then it's been a repeat performance each and every summer, and it's not a small thing that, you know, some of the Talmidei Chachamim that we're zochet to hear from over the summer, you know, it's always nice that someone's willing to come to camp to talk to us, but very often they're staying 20 minutes away, a half hour away. Rav Konigsberg, it's not the five towns, but he lives in Muncie, and to schlep all the way, dafka, just to give a shir to this chevra, we're so very grateful that he does so. For a person of his stature, a Rosh Yeshiva of his stature, to share Torah with us, and to make the schlep to be able to share Torah with us, it's always one of the highlights of the summer, and I want to thank him for his divrei Torah in advance.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Leibowitz. It's really a great pleasure to come back to Camp Keli to share Divrei Torah once again. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to do so. You know, when you talk about clarity in Shiurim, one of the first names that comes to mind is of course Rabbi Leibowitz. He's known throughout the world for the clarity, for the precision, the depth, and the breadth of his Shiurim. And you're really, truly fortunate to be able to spend the summer learning from him. And I strongly urge you to take advantage to try to gain as much as you can from him. And hopefully this summer experience will serve as a springboard for even greater growth in your learning, both in the coming year and beyond. I've been told that you're learning in Yonah Geiris this summer, so I thought maybe we'd talk about a topic that relates to Geiris but is somewhat peripheral. So hopefully there won't be any overlap between what I'm going to say and any of the shiurim that you've been hearing. I'd like to talk about, when does a ger recite the bracha on his tvilas gerus? We know that gerus is composed of different parts. There's mila, there's tvila, kabbalas hamitzvahs, there's carbon. At the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was a carbon as well. When it comes to milas gerus, so the Moyel recites a bracha before the mila. He says a bracha, lomalas agerim. It's a little bit of a different nusach bracha than a regular mila, but the Moyel recites that bracha. But for tvila, the halacha is that the ger himself recites the bracha. When does he recite the bracha and why? So we know that generally speaking, when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to birchas hamitzvah, a person has to recite the bracha before performing the mitzvah. This is what the Gemara says, in Psochim, in Sukkah, that kol ha-mitzvahs kula mevarach aleihen over la-asiyosa. The word over in this context means lifnei asiyosa. A person has to recite a birchas ha-mitzvah before the performance of the mitzvah. But the Gemara in Psochim says that there's one exception. The Gemara initially thinks there are two, but then it rejects the other one, and it says that there's one exception, that Beirav Amri chutz min ha-tvila. That in the case of the mitzvah of tvila, the person recites the bracha la'achar asiyasan, after the tefillah, after he comes up. Why? So the Gemara says that tefillah akati gavra lo chazi. Since the individual is lo chazi, he's unfit to recite the bracha. Somehow before the tefillah, he's not able to recite the bracha. He's unfit in some way. So therefore, the bracha can't be recited before the mitzvah. It has to be recited after the mitzvah. What kind of tevila are we talking about? Who's the gavra lo chazi in question? So Rashi in Psachim on Dav Zayin Amud Beis writes, gavra lo chazi kigon tevilas balei keri v'kaimelon bivrocha sh'ase b'divrei Torah u'bivrocha. The Gemara in Bracha says that balei keri are ase b'divrei Torah, and they're ase to make brachas. The case in the Gemara that Beirav is referring to is balkeri. Balkeri can't make a bracha when he's still Tomei, so he has to make a bracha ala tvila after he comes up from the mikveh. This is how Rashi understands. But Tosfos there quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, who cites from a Gaon, B'shem Gaon, one of the Gaonim, that the bracha in question is on a tvilas ger. It's not on tvilas balkeri, but rather tvilas ger, that a ger is lo chazi kodem tfilasod lamotzi lemeima vitzivonu. The ger doesn't have kedushas Yisrael until he goes to the mikvah, until the geris is complete. He's a goy beforehand. So that's what's meant when we say gaver lo chazi is lo chazi to say vitzivonu a birchas hamitzu yisrael shegedishanu v'tzosav vitzivonu etc. He can't say vitzivonu because he doesn't have kedushas Yisrael. So therefore, he can only recite the bracha la'achar asiyosan. He can only say it after the tevila. This is the machlokas Rashi and the Gaon. Why does the Gaon say that Balkeri is not included? It's because he assumes that we don't paskin like that gemara in brachas. It's true that Ezra was misakin that Balkeri have to go to the mikveh in order to learn Torah, and there are some that are machmer for that, but we don't paskin that way. So therefore, he interprets the brisa differently, that the tevila in question is not tevilas Balkeri, but rather tevilas ger. So it would seem as though tevilas ger is the exception. Normally we make a bracha, a dafka, over la'asiyasan, dafka before performing the mitzvah, but tevilas ger, the bracha la tevila, is recited la'achar asiyasan after the ger comes up from the mikvah. The question is twofold. First of all, what kind of a birchas ha-mitzvah is this? What the ger is doing a mitzvah by going to the mikvah, by doing the tevila? Is geirus a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to be makabel geirin? That's the first kasha. The second kasha is that if there is some kind of a mitzvah, so then how is it that the ger can recite the bracha la'achar asiyasan? If there's a halacha that you have to recite the bracha dafka over la'asiyasan, so then if the ger can't say it over la'asiyasan, you shouldn't say a bracha at all? These are the two questions that we have to address. So the truth is, the first kasha is not really such a kasha. There are many that say that there really is a mitzvah to be makabel gerim, but even if we claim that there's no mitzvah to be makabel gerim, but the word mitzvah doesn't have to mean a mitzvah chiyuvis, something that's positive that a person has to do. It doesn't have to be like shofar and tefillin that every person has to do at some point. The concept of mitzvah sometimes means that in a certain context, the Torah gives us a guideline as to what to do. Take for example, shechita. There's no mitzvah to eat meat. But in the context that a person wants to eat meat, so he has to do a shechita. And we do recite a bracha ala shechita. So saying a bracha on a mitzvah doesn't mean that the mitzvah is a mitzvah chiyuvis. It means that there are certain guidelines that the Torah gives in different contexts. So just like for shechita there's a bracha, even though there's no mitzvah chiyuvis to shecht and to eat meat, so too here. There might not be a mitzvah to be makabel gerim, but in the context where a guy wants to become a ger, so then tevila is called a mitzvah. It's the guideline. It's the blueprint. It's the framework that the Torah gives us in order for the person to become a ger. So that's why he has to recite a bracha. He has to recite a bracha. Even though the Lashon HaShekirshana B'mitzosa V'tzivanu at first glance sounds like it's a mitzvah, but there's a broader understanding of the concept of mitzvah. We also say V'tzivanu when it comes to Shechita. Even though Shechita is not necessarily a mitzvah chiyuvis, so this bracha should be appropriate for tevilas ha-ger as well. So that first kasha is not so much of a kasha. But the second kasha really is a kasha. And if we assume that all mitzvahs you have to make a bracha, dafka over la'asiyasa, dafka before the performance of the mitzvah, so how can ger be an exception to that rule? If that's the rule, so then manavshach, either the ger should make the bracha over la'asiyasa, before the performance of the mitzvah, or he shouldn't make a bracha b'chlal. What gives him the right? Okay, he's a gavra l'chasa, he can't make the bracha before, so don't make a bracha at all. If there's such a rule. There's really such a rule that the birchas ha-mitzvah has to be recited before the performance of the mitzvah. So how can it be that the ger can recite the bracha la'achar asiyasa? The simple answer to this question is that maybe this rule that normally you have to make a birchas ha-mitzvah before the performance of the mitzvah, maybe that's a din l'chatchila. Maybe it's not ma'akev b'di'evet. So if it's not ma'akev b'di'evet, in a case in which we can't do it before, then maybe you can do it after. If the rule that kol mitzvahs mevarech aleh and dafka over la'asiyasin is only l'chatchila, so we would like to do it before the asiya. But if for some reason you can't, then shas hadcha k'di'evet dami. So even l'chatchila you could recite it la'achar asiyasin. So if the ger is lochazi levarech, he's a goy before the tefillas, he's not able to make the bracha beforehand. So since it's a b'di'evet situation, we can't do it before, so maybe that's why the goy can recite the bracha after the asir. That's one possibility. But this is actually a machlokas harishonim. Is that really true, that b'di'evet you can recite a birchas ha-mitzvah la'achar asiyasan? The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that you can't. The Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Vav, Halacha Hey and Vav. Rambam says, Ha'osa mitzvah v'lo birech, in mitzvah sh'adayin asiyosa kayemes v'varech achar asiyah. If the mitzvah is a mitzvah, we call a mitzvah hanimsheches, there's a continuation to the mitzvah, so then you can recite the bracha even after the asiyah. That's because you're really reciting the bracha before the next asiyah, before the next kiyum mitzvah. But says the Rambam, if the mitzvah is fulfilled in one fell swoop, there's just one ma'aseh mitzvah, like shchita. That's the example the Rambam gives. Avolim shocha below bracha ino chozer achas shchita mevarech. In the case of shchita, if you forgot to recite the bracha before the shchita, you don't make the bracha la'achar asiyosa. The Rambam holds that you can recite a birchas mitzvah dafka over la'asiyosa, not la'achar asiyosa. It's ma'akev b'di'evet. That's the shita of the Rambam. But the Hagos Ashri and Chulin quotes from the Or Zeruah that b'di'evet you can recite the bracha la'achar asiyosa. He says, Mi'um lo bira kodem ashchita yoch levarech achar ashchita v'yotzi lechavosa. Shekol mitzvah shlo birach over la'asiyosa mevarech achar asiyosa kidepirish bivrachas. The Or Zeruah holds that b'di'evet you can recite a birchas mitzvah la'achar asiyosa. What's the machlokas, the Rambam and the Or Zeruah? So perhaps we can glean an understanding of the Rambam from a Gemara in Brachas. The Shachin Yoredeya in Simen Yutes Sivkot and Gimel, he points out that from the Gemara in Brachas you get the impression The Gemara is a raya to the Rambam. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara makes a very interesting comparison. Ravina is quoted in the Gemara in Brachas and after Nun Aleph Amid Aleph as saying that afilu gomar su'doso, if a person finished eating and he realizes, he remembers that he forgot to make a bracha, birchas anenin, then he can make a bracha afterwards. We know there's a rule, you're supposed to make a birchas anenin before eating, but let's say a person forgot. Sometimes it can happen, a person sits down to a meal, and then a couple of minutes later, he's talking to his friends, and he thinks to himself, did I say a bracha? It can happen. So, if a person already finished eating, and then he asks himself, did I make a bracha or not? So what's the din? So the Gemara says, Ravina holds, that even after finishing eating, you can make a bracha. How can that be? So he quotes a raya. He says, I'll bring you a raya from a braisa. The braisa says that a ger, after his tvila, can make a brachas mitzvah. So don't you see that you can make a bracha even after the maisa? Whether it's a birchas mitzvah or a birchas anenin, after doing the mitzvah you can recite the bracha b'di'eved, so after finishing the meal you can still recite the birchas anenin as well. L'chatchil, of course you should say it before, but b'di'eved you can say it afterwards too. So the Gemara says, no, there's no comparison. In the case of ger, he's a gavr lo chozi. Hosa meikara gavr lo chozi. Ger is a gavad lochazi beforehand. That's why he can make a bracha la tefila after the ma'aseh tefila. But hocha meikara gavra chazi, but here, the individual, when he starts his meal, he can recite the bracha, he can say the shakal, he can say hamotzi, he can say whatever birchas anenin he has to recite. So since he's a gavra chazi from the beginning, hol v'idchi idchi. Once it's pushed off, once he didn't recite the bracha in the beginning, then he can't recite the bracha after. The Gemara begins by suggesting a comparison between birchas anenin and birchas mitzvah, that just like we find by ger that birchas mitzvah can be la'achar asiyasa, so too birchas anenin can be la'achar asiyasa, la'achar achila. And the Gemara rejects that and says, no, ger is different. He's a gavad lochazi. A gavad lochazi, he can recite the bracha la'achar asiyasa. But birchas anenin, since the person is a gavad lochazi, he could recite the bracha beforehand, and he didn't. Hol v'idchi idchi. This is the Gemara. The kasha is, what's the raya of the Gemara b'chlam? B'chora, the raya of the Gemara is very strange. The Gemara is bringing the raya from birchas hamitzvah to birchas hanenin. What's the raya? In the case of birchas hanenin, of course you have to recite the bracha beforehand. You can't recite the bracha afterwards. Why? What's the reason for birchas hanenin? Why do we recite a bracha before eating? Does anyone know? The Gemara in Brachas, I'm sorry? Oh, excellent. The Gemara in Brachas on Lamed Hei says, Osu lo la'odam shiyenem in olam hazeh b'lo bracha, chalanenem in olam hazeh b'lo bracha, mo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns everything in the world, HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem. A person is not allowed to benefit from the world without a bracha. So he has to be matir the achil, he has to be matir the hanoah with a bracha. So in the case of Birchas Hanenin, I can understand why b'di'evit you can't recite a bracha la'achar asiyasa. Because Birchas Hanenin is what we call a matir. It's matir the hana. There's an issur to be nenem in ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha, so we need the bracha in order to be matir that hana. There's no matir l'mafreya. You can't have a matir for something after you did it. Right? You're supposed to ask permission for something. So after you do something, then you're going to ask permission. Right? You borrow your friend's car, and you drive somewhere, you go buy ice cream, then you return the car, and you ask him permission, can I borrow your car? But you borrowed it, you returned it, what's going on? You can't ask for permission after you did it. It's the same thing over here. You can't recite the Birchas Hanenin after finishing eating. If you didn't finish eating, so then you can recite the Birchas Hanenin on the next chelik of the Suda. But you can't recite the Birchas Hanenin on what you ate already. That doesn't really make sense. So that's true when it comes to Birchas Hanenin. But Birchas HaMitzvah, why shouldn't you be able to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah after the Asiyah? What's the comparison? The Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya from Ger that you can recite a Birchas Hanenin la'achar Asiyasan. Just like you can recite a Birchas HaMitzvah la'achar Asiyasan, b'di'evet, the case of a Ger is a b'di'evet, he's a gavad lo chozi. Right? So it's like the case is b'di'evet. So you can recite the Birchas HaMitzvah la'achar Asiyasan, so too, Birchas Hanenin, you can recite it after the Achila. What's the comparison? A Birchas Hanenin is a matir. You can't have a matir l'mafreya. You have to have a matir mikano l'haba. But Birchas HaMitzvah, that's not a takona that the Chachamim had. They were misakin to make a Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Birchas HaMitzvah can be la'achar Asiyasan, but what's the raya from that to Birchas Hanenin? So the Shach says that the Sefer Birchas Avram, not the Birchas Avram, you know, of this generation, but an older Birkas Avram, so he asked this kasha, and he says, in a chanami, the Gemara could have given that answer. The Gemara could have said a simple chilek. It doesn't have to say, here is gavra lo chazi, here is gavra chazi, v'hol v'idchi idchi. Gemara could have just said simply, there's a chilek between Birkas Hanen and Birkas HaMitzvah. That's what the Birkas Avram wanted to suggest. But the Shach is very troubled by that. He says from the Gemara, it's not mashma like that. Ravina didn't think that there's such a chilek, and the Gemara doesn't give that chilek, so why should we invent such a chilek? In a chanami, have a matzi l'shnu yehachi, mehechi kaisi. Why should I say such a thing? But the problem is, if you're not going to say such a thing, so what's the answer to the kasha? What's the raya of the Gemara b'chlal? There's no comparison between Birchas Hanenin and Birchas HaMitzvah. Rabbi Shechter quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik the following fundamental yisod. The Rav wanted to suggest that maybe the real answer to the question is that our assumption was wrong. We thought that there's a fundamental distinction between Birchas Hanenin and Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas Hanenin is a matir, but Birchas HaMitzvah is a different takon. So Dr. Rav, maybe that's incorrect. Maybe the real answer is that Birchas HaMitzvah is also a matir. Maybe you need a matir in order to do a mitzvah. It's a privilege. It doesn't come naturally. You can't just get up and do a mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us mitzvahs, and we have to ask for permission to be able to do a mitzvah. So a bracha, Zok the Rav, it could be that a bracha, a birchas hamitzvah, is also a matir, not just a birchas hanenin is a matir. Birchas hamitzvah could be a matir as well. And he said that actually this is meduyik from the Rambam. The Rambam in Ilchas Brachas, at the beginning of Perek Aleph, outlines all the different types of bracha. It talks about birchas hanenin, and Birchas HaMitzvah, and Birchas HaShevach, like Birchas HaShachar. We have so many brachas that we recite. The Rambam categorizes them as three different types of bracha. Rambam writes, Yidivrei Sofrim levarech al kol maichal tchila v'achakach yeneh mimenu. He describes what Birchas Hanoah is about, that a person has to recite the Birchas Hanoah, the Birchas Hanenin, before being nenah. V'chol hanenah below bracha mo'al. And a person who's nenim in ha'olam hazeh below bracha, that's like a me'ila. Adds the Rambam in the next halacha, halacha gimel, he says, Ukshem shemavarchan al ha'hanoya, kach mavarchan al kol mitzvah mitzvah v'achagach yasa osa. He says, it's doch the zel bezach, it's the same thing when it comes to Birchas HaMitzvah. Kishem, just like we have to recite a Birchas HaNenin before being nenim in ha'olam hazeh, so too, before doing a mitzvah, we have to recite a bracha. That word kishem is a big chiddush. Well, why does the Rambam make that word kishem? We don't find that the Rambam says kishem that we make a Birchas Hanenin and we make Birchas HaMitzvah, so too we make Birchas HaShevach as well. We don't find the kishem over there. The Rambam only puts the kishem between Birchas Hanenin and Birchas HaMitzvah. What is the kishem coming to tell us? So said the Rav, perhaps what the Rambam is alluding to is this very point. that kishem means just like for birchas hanenim, you can't eat without the bracha. The bracha is a matir. So too, by birchas hamitzvah, the bracha is a matir to do the mitzvah. And that's why the Rambam holds that you can only recite the birchas hamitzvah beforehand, over l'asiyasan. You can't recite the birchas hamitzvah l'achar asiyasan. Even b'di'evet, you can't recite such a bracha. Because it's a matir, and if it's a matir, there's no matir l'mafreya. Just like there's no matir l'mafreya in birchas hanenim, there's no matir l'mafreya when it comes to birchas hamitzvahs either. So this can explain the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam says the birchas hamitzvah can only be recited over l'asiyasan, before the ma'isa mitzvah. That's because the Rambam holds that birchas hamitzvah is a matir. And if it's a matir, so then just like by birchas hanenim, the bracha has to be recited beforehand, so to birchas hamitzvah has to be recited beforehand. What does the Or Zeruah hold? So Efshem and Kenzogin, maybe we can say that what the Or Zeruah holds is that there really are tzvei dinim. There are two elements to birchas hamitzvah. Of course he admits that there's an element of matir. There is an element of matir in birchas hamitzvah, but there's also an element of shevach. There's an element of shevach as well. And therefore, lechatchila, perhaps, one is supposed to recite the birchas hamitzvah beforehand because there's an element of matir. But b'di'evet, if he doesn't recite the birchas hamitzvah beforehand, he can still recite it la'achar asiyasan because there's still the concept of shevach. If birchas hamitzvah is also a birchas hashevach, then b'di'evet, even la'achar asiyasan, you can still recite the brach. I later found Rabbeinu Manoach in Hilchus Brachos makes this very point. He writes, "V'yesh cholkim va'omrim de b'chol ha'mitzvos kulam mevarech achar ha'asiya, v'ein b'zeh mishum brach levatola, sh'arei birchas ha'mitzvah hodo'ahi." Rabbeinu Manoach says that those who argue with the Rambam claim that b'di'evit you can recite a birchas ha'mitzvah even la'achar ha'asiya because they hold that birchas ha'mitzvah hodo'ahi. But if birchas ha'mitzvah hodo'ahi, so why l'chatchila should we recite the bracha over la'asiyasa? So you could say that they hold lechatchila, you should say a birchas hashevach over l'asiyasan too. But the other way to say it is even simpler, that they admit that there's an element of matir in birchas hamitzvah. So because there's an element of matir, lechatchila one should recite the bracha before the ma'isa mitzvah, but b'di'evet, since there's an element of hodah as well in the bracha, therefore one can recite it l'achar asiyasan too. Okay, this could be the machlokas between the Rambam and the Or Zeruah. So if you take the approach of the Or Zeruah, that b'di'evet you can recite the bracha la'achar asiyasan, so then we have an answer to the kasha that we raise. Right? How is it that the ger can make the bracha la'tfila la'achar asiyasan after he comes up from the mitzvah, from the mikvah? Okay, so he's a gavad lo chazi, he can't make the bracha beforehand. But what gives him the right to make the bracha afterwards? If the bracha is a matir, right? If it's like the Rambam, the bracha is a matir, so then either say it before, don't say it bechlal. The Rambam holds that you can say it afterwards. So what gives the ger the right to say the bracha afterwards, even if he's a gavad lo chazi? But if we take the approach of the Or Zeruah, that birchas hamitzvah is not just a matir, but there's an element of birchas hashevach in the bracha as well, so then perhaps we can answer that since there's an element of shevach b'di'evet, you can recite the bracha afterwards, and the case of ger is a shas adchak, it's a b'di'evet situation in general. He's a gavad lo chazi, he can't say it beforehand. So in his situation, l'chatchila, we recite the bracha afterwards. Okay, this could be the simple answer to the kash. The problem is the Rambam. The Rambam holds that birchas hamitzvah have to be recited dafka beforehand. He holds that there's only an element of matir in the birchas hamitzvah. So how do we explain ger? Ger is a gavad lo chazi. He can't recite the bracha beforehand. But what gives him the right to recite the bracha afterwards? What gives him the right to recite the bracha afterwards? It's still a birchas hamitzvah, presumably. If it's a birchas hamitzvah, then it's a matir. So how can he recite it afterwards? So the Rav wanted to suggest a very interesting idea to explain to the Rambam. A big chiddush. The Rav suggested that maybe Birchas HaTvila, the Bracha on Tvilas HaGer, is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. Maybe the Rambam holds it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. But rather it's a Bracha on the Chalos Geris. It's a Bracha on the status change of the Ger. As a result of the Geris, so now this Nochri's status in Halacha changes. Now he can marry a Bas Yisrael. If he touches wine, it's not going to ask for the wine. There's no din of Stam Yenam from his maga. If he's mevashel, if he cooks food, it's not bishalakam, it's mutar b'achila. There are so many halachas that change in the status of this individual when he's transformed from goy into ger. So maybe the bracha, Zokter Rav, maybe the bracha, according to the Rambam, the bracha on tevila, even though the nusach ha-bracha sounds like a birchas hamitzvah, That's because Chazal don't change the nusach. They don't formulate a different bracha if they have a precedent. If they have a paradigm of a bracha for this maisa, there's a birchas hamitzvah and a maisa tefillah, so even if this bracha, the nature of the bracha and tefillah's gear might be a little different, but Chazal leave the nusach in place. But maybe the bracha is not really a birchas hamitzvah b'chlal, maybe it's a bracha on the chalos geiris, on the transformation, the change of status that the goy has, turns into a ger, his status has changed, so maybe that's what the bracha is about. And if that's the case, then we can understand why it's recited afterwards, because the status changes only when he comes up from the mikvah. Right? He has to go into the mikvah. I don't know if he has to come up from the mikvah, but he has to go into the mikvah at least. That could be he has to come up from the mikvah also to complete the entrance, to complete the tevilah. So when he comes up from the mikvah, then he becomes a full-fledged Yisrael with a full Kedushas Yisrael. And his status in halacha has changed. So Zokta Rambam, that's why the bracha dafka should be recited after the Maisa Tefillah, because that's when the Chalos Geiris occurs. So the answer for the Rambam is that we started with a kasha, that how can it be that a Geir can recite a Bracha La Tefillah La'achar Asiyosan, albeit he's a Gavad Lochazi, he can't recite the Bracha over La'asiyosan, but what gives him the right to recite it La'achar Asiyosan? If Birchas HaMitzvah is a matter, like the Rav explained according to the Rambam, so there's no matter Lamafreya, you can't have a matter after the Asiyah, so what gives him the right to do it? The answer is that we misunderstood the nature of the bracha. It could be that the bracha of Tevilas Ger is not a birchas hamitzvah b'chlal, it's a bracha on the chalos geiris. And if it's a bracha on the chalos geiris, then we can understand why davka should be recited afterwards, because that's when the chalos geiris takes effect. According to this, it turns out that Tevilas Ger is not really an exception to the rule that you have to make birchas hamitzvah davka before a mitzvah. It's not really an exception to the rule. It's masquerading as an exception, but it really isn't an exception. It's just a different type of bracha. It's not really a birchas hamitzvah at all. It's really a bracha on the chalos. The Gemara in Pesachim just formulates that as an exception because it looks like an exception, but really, according to this, it's not an exception, because according to the Rambam, there can't be an exception. You couldn't recite a birchas hamitzvah after the asiyas hamitzvah according to the Rambam, because there's no matir l'mafreya. So you'd have to reinterpret that the bracha on tefillas hager is a bracha on the chalos, it's not really a bracha on the mitzvah. This yisod of the Rav can help explain another sheet of the Rambam as well. There's a machlokas harishonim whether this principle that the bracha on tefillah is recited la'achar asiyasan, does that apply only to a ger, or does it apply to other chayvei tefillah as well? Let's say when a nida goes to a mikvah, a balkari goes to a mikvah, so do they recite the bracha la'achar asiyasan, or would they recite the bracha kodem asiyasan? What's the din? Tosus in Pesachim quotes from the Gaon, that's that Rabbeinu Chananel b'shem the Gaon, that dafka ger recites the bracha la'achar asiyasan, but other chayvei tvila, like balkari, they first have to make the bracha and then they go to the mikvah. Why is that? Because they're a gavra l'chazi. They have kedushas yisrael. So why shouldn't they make the bracha before him? The ger is a gavra l'chazi. He makes the bracha la'achar asiyasan. But they are a gavra l'chazi. The ishanida and the balkari, they're a gavra l'chazi. So they have to make the bracha before they go to the mikvah. But Tosas then quotes from the Ri, who disagrees. The Ri says that lo chilku chachamim chazal v'mesakim below plug, that anyone who goes to the mikvah makes the bracha la'achar asiyasan. Not just the ger, but the chazal say, we're going to get confused. We'll think that if some people make the bracha over l'asiyos, we'll think the ger also can make it over l'asiyos. And so Chazal say everyone should make it l'achar asiyos. And this is a machlokas ledina, machlokas de Shulchan Aruch and the Rama in Hilchas Nida. The end of Hilchas Nida in Simen Reish, Sif Aleph, what to do? The Shulchan Aruch says that a nida is mevarech over l'asiyos before she goes to the mikvah. And the Rama says no, that the minig is to make it l'achar asiyos. From Tosis, you get the impression that the whole Machlokas HaRishonim is based on whether Chazal were Mesakim below Plug. Was there a low Plug that Chazal say that all Brachas and Tefillot should be recited La'achar HaSiyasan or not? It's a question of whether someone is a Gavad HaChazi or a Gavad HaLochazi. That's the impression that you get from Tosis. According to the Rambam, though, perhaps you can explain a little differently, the Rav's understanding. According to the Rambam, it's not a function of whether it's a low plug or not a low plug. According to the Rambam, you can't recite a bracha on tevila. Any tevila besides tevila sager, you couldn't recite that l'achar asiyasan. If a woman goes to the mikveh and she makes a bracha la tefillah, that's not a bracha on a chalos. Okay, she's becoming tahara. She was tameya, now she's becoming tahara. But that's not really a status change. Not a significant status change. That's a birchas hamitzvah. So if according to the Rambam, every birchas hamitzvah has to be recited dafka over lasiyasa, there's no matil and mafreya. So if any other chai be tefillah goes to the mikveh, the Rambam would say, you have to recite the bracha before the tefillah. The only reason that we recite the bracha on tefillah sager la'achar asiyasa is because the bracha on tefillah sager is not a birchas hamitzvah according to the Rambam. It's a bracha on the chalos. But any other tefillah, right, the bracha on any other tefillah is a birchas hamitzvah. So according to the Rambam, of course you have to recite that bracha before the tefillah. It's not just that chazal would not gozer below plug, so therefore if someone is a gavra d'chazi, then he has to make the bracha beforehand. No, he has to make the bracha beforehand because that's a different type of bracha. That's a birchas hamitzvah. The Rambam holds every birchas hamitzvah has to be recited before the mitzvah. It's only the tefillah of a ger, the bracha on tefillah sager, which is not a birchas hamitzvah, it's a bracha on the chalos. That bracha is recited la'achar asiyasa. And in fact, the Rambam, when he cites the exception of tevila, he only mentions tevila sager. Right? The Rambam says, "Ein lecha mitzvah shemavarchan aleh achar asiyasa." This is the Rambam Milchas Brachas Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Zayin. "Ein lecha mitzvah shemavarchan aleh achar asiyasa la'olam ela tevila sager sheni yachol lomar shekedishanu v'tzivanu shadayin lo niskadesh v'lo nitztava." The Rambam mentions only Tefillah Sager. Why? The Rambam agrees with the Gaon, but not for the reason that Tosfos says. Right? The Gaon holds that every other Chayve Tefillah makes the Bracha before the Maisa Tefillah. That's because they're a Gavra D'Chazi, so why should they make a Bracha afterwards? According to the Rambam, the reason why they have to make the Bracha before is because that Bracha is a Brichas HaMitzvah. It's not like the Bracha on Tefillah Sager. The Bracha on Tefillah Sager is a Bracha on the Chalos. But a bracha on any other tefillah, that's a birchas hamitzvah, and of course, that has to be recited dafka before the tefillah, like every other birchas hamitzvah. On the flip side, according to the Rav's understanding of the Shita of the Rambam, what should emerge is that if you have a tevilas ger without the problem of gavra lo chazi, then when should you make the birchas hamitzvah? According to the Rambam, if you have a tevilas ger without the problem of gavra lo chazi, you should still have to recite the bracha la'achar asiyasa. Now, that seems to be a contradiction in terms. How could you have a tefillah sager without the problem of gavra lo chazi? Can you think of a case? A tefillah sager, but the one who's making the bracha is the gavra d'chazi. He can't make the bracha, he has kedushas yisro. Can you think of a situation? Yeah. Ger katan, exactly. Ger katan ma'bil raso al das bezdin. Can you talk about ger katan? Ger katan, okay, that's a big sukkah. The Bezdin is the one that's Megayer. The Bezdin is Mezakeh and Das. I'm sure you'll talk about all the details. Who makes the bracha on the Tvilas Ger Katan? The Bezdin makes the bracha. The Ger Katan is not going to make a bracha. Right? Sometimes the Matri Lager, you know, who doesn't even know anything about brachas. A baby. Right? So it's the Bezdin that's making the bracha. The person, the representative of the Bezdin is the Gavra the Chazi. He certainly could make the bracha before the tevilah. So what should the din be? When do you make a bracha on tevilas ger katan? Rabbi Shechter in a sefer Eretz HaTzvi, he quotes from a Ravid in Balei HaNefesh. Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh at the end of Shar HaTevilah, the Ravid says that on the tevilah of a ger katan, the Bezdin makes the bracha over Lasiyasa, before the Tevilah. How do we understand the Ravid? So according to the Tosfos' Ri from Psochem, the Ri who says that Chazal u'Mesakim below Plug, that the Bracha on Tevilah should always be L'Achar Asiyasa, and so of course you're going to make it L'Achar Asiyasa, there's nothing to talk about. So how can the Ravid say that you should make the Bracha on Tevilah Sager before the Tevilah? So presumably you think that the Ravid is going like the Gaon. The Ravid is going like the Gaon. Rabbi Chananel's Gaon, who assumes that it's a function of whether he's a Gavra d'Chazi or Gavra d'Lo Chazi. A regular Ger is a Gavra d'Lo Chazi, so he makes it after the Asid. In the case of the Ger Katan, the Bezdin is the one making the Bracha. They are a Gavra d'Chazi, so they make the Bracha. Kodem o'Asid. Everything seems to make perfect sense. What should the Rambam hold over here? Chora, the Rambam would have to say that even if the Mevorech is a Gavra D'Chazi, even if the Bezdin is the one making the Bracha, and they are a Gavra D'Chazi, nevertheless, the Bracha has to be made La'achar Asiyos. Why? Because according to the Rambam, the way that the Rav explained, the reason why the Ger can make a Bracha after the Asiyah, it's not because you can make a Birchas HaMitzvah B'diyeved after the Asiyah. No. It's because the Bracha on Tfilas HaGer is fundamentally different. That Bracha is not a Birchas HaMitzvah B'chlal, it's a Bracha on the Chalos Gerus. The Rambam holds that you can make a Birchas HaMitzvah La'achar Asiyos. The only reason why the Ger can make the Bracha La'achar Asiyos is because it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah B'chlal. So if it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah B'chlal, Maishna if the Ger is a Ger Gadol or if he's a Ger Katan. If the bracha is on the chalos geiros, it has to be la'achar asiyos. So even if the bezdin is the one making the bracha, and there a gavra d'chazi, the representative of the bezdin, has kedushas Yisrael, he could say the bracha before the tefillah, but he can't, according to the Rambam. He won't be able to say the bracha before the tefillah. He'd have to say the bracha afterwards. He'd have to say the bracha afterwards, not because there's a low plug, like the reed. No, according to the Rambam, he'd have to say the bracha afterwards, because the bracha on tefillas ger is a bracha on the chalos, and the chalos geris only occurs at the end when he comes up from the mikvah. So that's why, even though the bezdin is a gavra d'chazi, they'd have to make the bracha la'achar asiyosim after the tefillas geris. We mentioned in the Rambam that there's another exception to the rule that sometimes we can make a birchas hamitzvah la'achar asiyosim. The Rambam holds this is the only exception, right? But others claim that the bracha on tefillas hager is an exception too. But the Rambam says there's a different exception. What's the exception? The Rambam says if there's a hemshich to the mitzvah, that's the one exception that the Rambam admits to. Tefillas hager, as we described, is not really an exception according to the Rambam. But this the Rambam concedes is an exception. Ha'osa mitzvah v'lo birech mitzvah she'adayin asiyasa kayemes v'varech achar asiyah. Well, what's an example of a mitzvah hanimsheches according to the Rambam? For those mitzvahs, you can make a bracha la'achar asiyosa. What's pshat in the Rambam? If the Rambam holds that every birchas hamitzvah you can only make it before the asiyah because it's a matir and there's no matir l'mafres of usepis, these mitzvahs are different. So the answer is poshut, that the Rambam assumes that by a mitzvah hanimsheches, you're not making a bracha on the mitzvah that you did already. You're making a bracha on the mitzvah that you're going to fulfill afterwards. Even though perhaps you're not going to do another maisa mitzvah. It's a big chiddush that you can recite a bracha on a kiyum mitzvah without a maisa mitzvah. B'chatchila, we always connect the birchas mitzvah to a maisa mitzvah, but in this context, we don't have a maisa mitzvah. You were lovesh mitzvah, you were mis'atef in the tzitzis. You were meniach tefillin, so you did the mitzvah already, you did the maisa, but you can make a bracha on the next kiyum according to the Rambam. So it's again, it's not really an exception according to the Rambam. The Rambam holds there's no matil mafreya birchas hamitzvah can only be recited before the asiyas hamitzvah. All of these exceptions that we find, there's a different reason for why there's an exception. By tefillas hager, the Rambam says a different type of bracha. By mitzvah nimsheches, the Rambam holds that you can make the bracha because you're continuing to fulfill the mitzvah. If you can continue to fulfill the mitzvah, then you'll make the bracha before the next fulfillment, before the next chelik of the mitzvah. That's really the yesod of the Rambam. And we find this idea that by mitzvah nimsheches, one can recite a bracha, even la'achras yosan. It's not just in the Rambam. The Rishonim have it. Many different Rishonim have this. Tosis, for example, in Sukkah, right? Tosis points out that you pick up a set of Dalet Minim, so how can you make a bracha before the mitzvah? Once you pick up the lulav and the esrog, you've been yotze the mitzvah, mida'ag bei nafag bei, so when should you make the bracha? Make the bracha before you pick up the Dalet Minim, that's too far in advance of the mitzvah. That you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to make the bracha dafka over lasiyosa, not over the over. You're not supposed to make it too far in advance. To make the bracha after you've picked it up, so since you've been yotze the mitzvah, you're not supposed to make the bracha then. So when exactly should you make the bracha? So Tosis offers a number of different solutions to this problem. You either pick up one, or turn the esrog upside down, like we do. Tosis, in one of the days, one of his opinions there in Sukkah and Daf Lamites, he suggests that maybe you can make the bracha la'achar asiyasa lechatchila. Right? He says, pick up the lulav and esrog, and then lechatchila make the bracha la'achar asiyasa. Why? Because it's a mitzvah nimshaches. Because since you still have nanuim, you're going to shake the lulav. So before nanuim, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah completely. Nanuim ashiyariya mitzvah, he says. It's a hemshech to the mitzvah. So because there's still a hemshech to the mitzvah, then you can make the bracha. It'll be over la'asiyasa of the hemshech of the next chalik of the mitzvah. Now, we don't paskin like that sheep in toast. We paskin that you should turn the esrog upside down. Right? Lechatchila, you certainly should not make the bracha after picking the lulav and esrog up. Well, just because you have nanuim coming up, so you should, you can make the bracha lechatchila before nanuim? No, we don't go so far. But we do paskin like this sheep of the Mishnah Berurah and Simen Tov Reish Nun Aleph quotes from the Magen Avraham, that let's say a person forgot to make the bracha on the Dalet Minim before picking them up. That can happen. You pick up, you think you're going to make the bracha, and it turns out you're holding the esrog. You thought you were holding the esrog upside down, and it turns out that you're holding it right side up. You're holding the minim. So what do you do at this point? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the poskim that b'di'evet you can still recite the bracha since you haven't shaked the lulav and esrog yet. You still have nanuim to do. So b'di'evet you can rely on this sheet of tosis. So even though we don't paskin l'chatchila like that sheet of tosis, but it's an important yisod. So it is that a mitzvah on a mesheches b'di'evit, you can recite the bracha even la'achar asiyasa, because you're really reciting the bracha before the next asiyah, before the next kiyum mitzvah. So b'di'evit, in the context of lulav and esrog, if you forgot to recite the bracha before picking up the dalet minim, b'di'evit you'll still be able to recite the bracha even after picking them up, because you still have nanuim coming. That's Locha Rabbi. Yeah, questions. Right, it's even better. Right, but even so, there's a shaila whether we say nanuim is really a chelik of the mitzvah. Maybe it's only shiori mitzvah. Shiori mitzvah might be like a lower level. So it could be lechatchila. You're really supposed to recite the bracha before the ikar mitzvah. Or maybe we could even say that you're supposed to recite the bracha before any chelik of the mitzvah. So even if nanuim is part of the mitzvah, lechatchila we still would recite the bracha before picking up the dalet minim. But b'di'evet is right, as you're pointing out. B'di'evet it's even better. B'di'evet, since nanuim is really a maisis, not just a kiyum, so certainly to recite the bracha before nanuim, you're really accomplishing a great deal, because there still is another maisa mitzvah coming, and you're reciting the bracha before the next maisa mitzvah. Yes.
I guess two questions are basically the same. But by kiddushin, where we might also say that there's a sheet in Kalos, the Rambam says we do the bracha beforehand.
Right. So the Rav, interestingly enough, says this yesod by Birchas Erisin as well. We don't have time to go into it, but there's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Raivi, where the Birchas Erisin you're supposed to recite before the kiddushin, before the Erisin, or dafke after. The Raivid says that you recite it afterwards. That's because it's toli b'das acherim. It's dependent on the woman, right? If she wants, she doesn't have to agree, right? Like when you come, when you see what's going on under a chuppah, it's interesting. You know, when the chassan puts the ring on the collar, he says areyat. He puts the ring on the collar. She sticks out not her ring finger. She sticks out her pointer, the index finger, and he puts it on just till the first knuckle. Puts the ring just onto the first knuckle. Why does he put it just to the first knuckle? What, so the photographer can take a better picture? No, he puts it to the first knuckle. One of the reasons that the post can give is that if she wants to change her mind, she can throw off the ring. I've never seen it happen, but that's the reason given. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is that it should be a mokom goloi so that the Edom can see it. So the woman can disagree. She can decide that she doesn't want to accept the kiddushin. So how can a person make a bracha before she's expressed what her will is? Right. So the Ravid says that you make it la'achar asiyosim because it's toli b'dasachem. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that since it's a birchas hamitzvah, so you can only recite it beforehand. So apparently the Rambam assumes that even though there is a status change in Kiddushin, somehow that's not the nature of the bracha. Right? Even though I think Rabbi Shechter quotes from the Rav that the Rav put all these together. He put Brachas Erisin and Tevila and the bracha Mila. The father makes a bracha, La'achniso b'viso shel Avram Avinu. So he put all of these together, but I'm not sure that the Rambam agrees. The Rambam seems to hold that Brichas Erisin is a Brichas HaMitzvah, and that's why he says that Yadavka is supposed to recite the bracha before the Kiddushin.
Yeah.
it would explain the Raiva, but if you want to put all the Rambams together, the Rambam doesn't necessarily have to put all these things together. You're raising a good point that there is a status change in the case of Kiddushin. You know, it's a quite a more significant status change than a person becoming Tohar from being Tamei. Right? It is a real status change. She's Asura L'chola Olam. And there's a real status change in Halach over there. So I'd love to say that the Rambam would put it all together and say that this is a bracha on the Chalos. I guess the answer is the Rambam doesn't have to say that. You can say there's a mitzvah of Kiddushin, and it's a bracha on the mitzvah. The case of Tfilas Ger, how can you say it's a brachas ha-mitzvah? You're reciting it afterwards. So there, you need the Chiddush of the Rav to explain the Rambam. But here, the Rambam apparently disagreed and said brachas ha-erizin is not really a bracha on the Chalos, it's just a brachas ha-mitzvah. Yes.
And then I was just going to say from that same thing, that the Rav, it says we can't make the bracha beforehand because it's Halibud Asachir, and he says maybe it won't happen, maybe she'll say no. So I don't know if it's the same Bali Nefesh or the same Rabbit as that Sagos that I did. I'm not sure. But in the case of Ger Katan, if the Bezin is making the Brach, maybe the Ger is going to be scared of water and not jump in. And then, as in the reason, it sounds like from the Rabbit that the reason why you can't do it because She'im Timon Eish Vod Yitzarech Abrach Levatala. So let's say the kid gets, right, Ger Katan's kid doesn't go into the water, and then also when that shaft is left.
You're saying if he's old enough that he can make a decision, if he's 8 or 9 and he didn't pass beginner swimming, so
yeah,
he's more concerned. But I hear that's an interesting svar. It's an interesting svar. The Ravid in the Bali HaNefesh doesn't quote such an idea, right? He doesn't say that. He's saying that's the pshat in the Ravid, you're saying. That's the pshat in the Ravid, why you have to recite it. No, I'm sorry. The Ravid says that you recite the bracha on tevila by Ger Katan before the tevila.
Right.
So how can the Ravid say that? If you're saying the Ravid hold by Talib das Acherim,
it might not happen, so I believe the bracha.
So how can you make a bracha before? That's your kashin. How can the Ravid and Balayin? The answer probably is that most Ger Katans, the Bezdin is sort of, you know, forcing him. Not forcing him, it's a Zochin in the Das. So we assume that the Bezdin is in control. They're gonna put him under, they'll dunk him under the mikveh.
Yeah.
So he'll cry a little bit, but yeah, it's his chus for him, so we'll dunk him under the mikveh. That's Lechora what the Ravid is assuming. Yes? Can't the Ger Katan reject the Geris later? For that, you'll have to wait for the Shia. I don't want to steal Rabbi Leibowitz's thunder. That's a major discussion. The Gemara talks about that. You'll see, in Mirtz Hashem, I'm sure. Okay. Yes?
On the last day of the Sukkah, then...
The last day of what?
Of the Ger Chiyot in Sukkah.
Yes.
The Rambam would say,
I don't think so. The Rambam means that if you enter into the sukkah, so that if you're still sitting in the sukkah, then you can recite the bracha leisha basukkah on the next yeshiva. You're staying in the sukkah. Staying in the sukkah, and you're sitting there. Once you leave the sukkah, so then there's, if you're out of the sukkah for a long enough period of time that we view it as a hefzik, so then when you come back into the sukkah, you'll have to make another bracha. The Rambam's point is that sukkah is a mitzvah nimsheches in the sense that if you're sitting in the sukkah, then even if you forgot to make a bracha of leisha basukkah before you sat down, before you started eating, let's say, right? That's the ikar maisa mitzvah of the sukkah, the chazal were actually misaken the bracha of leisha basukkah, you can still say the leishiv. Say the leishiv on the next chelik of the achila that you're going to do. Right? But no one would say that you can make a leishiv on the mitzvah that you'll do the following year. That's too far of a jump. But you could make a leisha basukkah on the next chelik of the mitzvah of sukkah that you're doing if you're still sitting in the sukkah. Yes.
According to the Rav, the Rav was saying that we're not saying the status of the gear.
Change of status.
Yeah. Why don't we say a brother of our mitzvah when we're now having all the mitzvahs?
Is there a mitzvah becoming a gadol? He's not doing a mitzvah. He's not doing a mice. It's just happening. Right? So if he's not doing a mice, then we have nothing to pin the bracha to. Here, the gear is doing the tefillah. And the tefillah is what's transforming him. So because there is a maisa, we can recite a bracha on that maisa. Okay, atzlocha rabba.
Not overlapping.